There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Oh, Kathy, thank you for letting me talk to you, Kathy. I'm so excited.
Yeah, what is it? What is it? What is it?
Well,
I need to go back to Gary. Get your hands off of me.
I know. I just want to tell you that, God, I love Gary so much. I had such a good time with him. I'm really feeling connection with him. And then, you know, I don't know if you knew this, but when he was kissing my ear, he kind of pressed up against my waist.
Yeah. You're coming at me. You're saying things like, It's diminishing me. You're basically saying that he and I are going off in the sunset. I need to go pack my stuff, go pack my bags.
Yeah,
you know,
loved.
you're gonna do all the stuff. You skinny mini. You're looking at me like in your face.
Yeah. What do you mean I'm skinny? Mini?
All your clothes could fit in my underwear drawer. That's what I'm saying.
I'm a petite, Kathy. I'm a petite.
Yeah, I know. As you never keep mentioning.
Gary just wraps his arms around me. It's like he could wrap him around.
It's
twice.
Possessive. It's possessive and territorial. It's possessive and territorial.
No.
You're possessive, and I see you. I see you. No, I see you.
I'm gonna go.
Yeah, don't let the door hit your ass on the way out.
Y'all, someone came to play, and her name is Kathy.
I fucking love her.
And guess what? She doesn't love chocolate. She loves taking people's hearts and crushing them.
It's interesting.
I'm not saying she meant to do that.
I'm just saying, though,
that Teresa is so sensitive that she did.
Oh, I've now turned on Teresa.
Oh, wow.
I have...
Ooh, how quickly.
Here's why, because I paid attention. Usually it's a woman. Yeah, it's not a man. Well, sometimes the men do it in The Bachelorette, but there's always one woman kind of putting a bug into someone's ear about how they had the connection, how they did this. And this woman seems like she's chosen Kathy to do it with. And it feels, and I think it is a little bit of Kathy putting a chip on Kathy's shoulder, but Kathy already feels ignored. And, but it makes it even worse. And Teresa has no sense of how people actually feel about her.
I kind of agree with Kathy. I think you could have stopped that sentence and just said, Teresa has no sense, period.
Is she dumb as a rock?
Is she dumb as a rock, or is it all planned? Y'all, this is a Golden Bachelor episode 3, and you thought the drama wasn't going to come to the geriatrics, but it's here.
It's here.
We're the reality gays.
I'm so happy.
Yes, we're reality gays. I'm Matt Maher, a.k.a. Maddie, and that lady sitting beside me on a
computer of a certain age
is Miss Jake Anthony. Miss Anthony, if you're nasty, or Poodle, if you're a reality gay sissy.
Hello.
We this was a great episode. We're going to jump into it. We want to remind people that if you're on our RG Plus, it's our Patreon Supercast, Selling Sunset Season 7 is coming on November 3rd. Yeah. So we're very excited about that. That's on the $5 tier. We're going to put an episode on the public feed for your pleasure. And Love is Blind is finishing up. We've got the reunion, the final episode and the reunion.
Yay that it's over.
Yay. We have seen at the point that now, I mean, it's dropping tonight. We have seen the finale. We definitely have opinions.
We can't talk about it because it's just dropped, but.
No, because this is going to drop right after. Y'all, we were,
I watched both of these weddings like I'd eaten a bowl of shrimp that had been left in the sun too long. Yeah, just a little bit like, do I poop now?
With a cream sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. A creamy dill.
Yes.
Yogurt sauce.
But that's warm.
Mayo.
Kind of warm and kind of has the film over it.
Old shrimp salad.
Yeah, we're going to make people throw. Was. Yeah, that's what this was. We're looking forward to the reunion. Any other announcements we want to let people know about Poods?
I think that's it. We did do our Golden Bachelor crossover or collab with Love to See It. So check that out. I think we did episode. Did we do episode one? I can't remember.
We did do episode one, I believe. Okay. Yes. And we still have another collab coming with two black girls, one Rose, Natasha, and Justine. So we're working that out. And some other stuff. So we definitely have in the plans. But y'all, we just want to say this too. Some of you are sissy. We call our listeners sissies if you're new. Some of you sissies have been around and are listening to this. And some of you are new. Regardless, follow us on social media or share it. We kind of help get the word out. If you like us covering Golden Bachelor, give us the word, shout out, and let us know. Let people know.
And if you don't, like Kathy says, zip it. your lip.
Like the person that tweeted back to say, yeah, I didn't like it when they said cancer was a hoax. And I went, just another time, Jake is getting us.
Y'all.
People that cancel us.
I'm just putting things out there into the ether for controversy. Obviously, some people believe that I actually believe that Roberta is still alive.
You've got to understand, y'all. Poodle, when we talk about Poodle as a child, or AKA
Little Poodle, I lived to fuck with people.
What kind of stuff would you say or do when your parents had people over?
Anything I could do to talk about. Oh, I told people that I was thinking about when I must have been 8 or 9, and we learned about some kind of world religion. I don't know how I learned about it in the school, that I was thinking about becoming a Buddhist.
You said that to your mom?
Yes.
Sprit, y'all, yeah, in you front don't understand of, where we're from.
And, Chaper, stop that. What would Jesus say?
What would Jesus say? So y'all got to understand, that's Poodle. He said that shit since he was a little kid just to fuck with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So let's just get into this. This is they've been doing this cold open kind of thing with like Gary crying. I have a feeling we're going to see Gary crying a lot.
Do you like that's not a Bachelor thing to do normally.
It's
like
not.
It.
I think it's usually, it's like every fourth season we get a bachelor who is somewhat, what's the word I'm coming for? Likeable.
Yes.
And maybe every second we get a bachelorette who's more likeable. But usually I think it's that this guy you'd have to be a crazy person not to like him.
Oh,
that
he's very likely.
They are just making us fall in love with him.
Yeah.
And there's so many opportunities to do that. And he also comes off so authentically on camera. And
he's
it takes
great.
A lot of people, especially younger people, a longer time. Do I need to even mention Matt James? I don't even know who the fuck I don't even know who even knew the fuck he was.
We didn't even get to know him because his mother was only here for one episode. Apparently, she was unremarkable too.
One of the hottest bachelors, but one of the most boring. Could not be himself on camera to save his life.
I couldn't watch all that season. I tried.
Ugh. It was rough. So, y'all, let it be known, we have an alliance. And that's when I went, oh my God, yes. Yes. Now we're talking. Yes. It is the, as Kathy says, some women are like they're like this. They're like laying out over there on the side. And then when Gary walks in, they're like, sit up. Like
he electrocuted them.
It's like the three faces of Eve. And I'm like, no one under 60 knows who that movie is.
I don't even know that movie.
Joanne Woodward, I believe. Yeah.
It's called Three Faces of Eve?
Yeah, The Three Faces of Eve. I believe my mother set me down and had me watch it because
wow.
Everything's made clear. I think Joanne Woodward. I think she was.
What'd you say? Jaybird, you got to watch this movie about this Eve woman. Your father won't watch it with me. Sit down.
I think it was schizophrenia. Like personality. That was when they called it personalities or split personality disorder or something like
the
that.
The shit you and I had to do with our mothers because their husbands were too busy working and weren't there.
Oh, y'all, every Saturday afternoon, my mother and I on Fox 21, we would sit down and watch a classic movie.
Aww.
It's not because wasn't sweet. It's because neither of us had anything to do. My brother was off doing something else with friends, and I was just like, I guess I'm going to spend here with Mama. Sure, let's watch. Let's watch Death on the Nile again.
It all comes together.
Yo, this alliance is called, made up of April, Susan, Kathy, Nancy. They've called it the Askin Alliance.
Askin.
As in A-S-K-N.
Because their motto is, you're asking, we're telling. I don't know what that means.
And I'm not sure what I guess they're being straight shooters.
So you were confused by the motto too?
Yes. I was confused at their goal. Is their goal just to shit kick all the other women home?
If I think of other mottos of company, like we deliver for you, I got it. Just do it. Sure. But you're asking, we're telling.
Have it your way.
Hey. Poodle's taking that one to heart.
I feel like it does. It feels what they're basically saying, I think, is they think some of the women are being fake. So I feel like it might be that they're going to level with Gary about what's been going on.
I think so, too.
And this has happened before in previous seasons, y'all. We've rarely seen an alliance. Now, I think Askin is extremely, A-S-K-N, is mm-hmm. extremely awkward. Some other combinations of the same letters I thought of were NASK.
NASK?
Like mask, but with an N.
Okay, I don't really know.
Is that Sank. Like Senka?
Oh, that's
probably not really Sank. Also, cans with a K.
that sounds like just titties.
Also, can with anks, A N K S or unks.
Okay.
And then my favorite snack, S N A K.
You know,
snack.
I thought you really weren't. I feel like you were kind of failing at all of these, and these are all were sucking, and asking was the best one. But I got to say,
snack.
Should have gone with snack.
Snack, like, because we're snacks.
We're snacks. Get this snack. April literally has a calendar of snacks.
Agree. I think this could have spent more time in the tool shed of coming up with this mm-hmm. alliance name.
Yeah. We're a snack. That's it. It's the weird that they're asking, but they put in the, like it should say, you're telling we're asking. Instead of you're asking.
I think we've already put too much thought into this more than they did. This was...
It's the Zalato, doesn't make sense.
This was dreamed up in between mimosa drunk and late afternoon drunk.
That's true. I mean, my motto in college was on your back, Matt. I think it's very clear. It was me.
I don't know if that's a motto, just what people refer to you as. Anyway, so y'all know that Leslie has continued to be the house's nervous, neurotic chihuahua about...
She's just shaking the whole
getting
time.
Getting more time with Gary, being afraid that he's not getting to see who she is. We're going to see a lot of who she is in what's going to be the talent show that's going to be put on. Yes. But the thing is, y'all, Kathy has the biggest beef with Teresa. And and she says, well, Gary's formed a close relationship with Teresa. He's but a clothes won't even fit in my the clothes are tiny. They're basically my underwear bag. Like, y'all, this is the Rodney Dangerfield of the house.
She really is.
She's working on her material.
She is.
After this, if she doesn't get a marriage out of it, she's got a hell of a sitcom set or a hell of a stand-up comedian set.
Oh,
anyway,
she's great, and she what I love about her is that she always, I think. Just, how do I say this? Whatever she's had done, because there's been a little bit of some nips, it makes her resting face look like a codfish.
She is consistently looking like she's trying to, like, suck up things out of the room with her mouth open.
With her mouth open, yeah, just like, she's trying to suck up the love that Teresa and Gary have.
No, I give anything for her faces. Her faces are amazing.
They're great.
So Jesse shows up, and he basically starts off like, so I guess I thought I would explain some of the things that are going to happen today.
The producers after that card were like, Gary, you got to walk, or Jesse, you got to walk it back.
So I guess I'm here to tell you that... You guys are going to go on what's called a one-on-one date. And they're all like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be a group date. And I bet he negotiated after that episode. I bet he's like, there's so much to do.
Because they all look at you the way your grandmother looks at you when you're trying to explain how to work your television. You know what I mean? It's that look that we all know. We all know.
But y'all, none of that matters because basically we have a competition, a talent show.
Talent show.
And I feel about talent shows on TV the way I feel like them on Below Deck, that these people aren't hired to show their talents. And I know that a lot of people can come up with stuff. You put, like, imagine, this happens a lot with people who go to, like, industrials and things like that. If you have, you're business has like a, or your work has like a day where you're like bonding and you're like, we're gonna have a talent show. Everyone hates it. No one likes being there. No one likes hanging out with people they work with.
You know why? It's because people that show up to talent shows have real talent, some of them, and they actually perform. And you know who wins? Kelly Denham doing a lip sync of Meet Me in Montana with a puppet. They don't even sing. They just lip sync. And everybody thinks it looks real cute when they do it, but you get second.
I have a feeling this sounds personal.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I gotta say, lip syncing with a puppet sounds like something I'd like to see, though. I'm sure you were great with your
moving the puppet's mouth and just
realistic actual singing.
She didn't even sing.
Anyway, y'all, this is the talent show that's going to happen. We are at the Canyon Club. Have you ever seen this place? I know exactly where it is. It's like
God, you fucked a lot of guys.
No, this is like across from the studios on.
Is it over by NBC?
Lancashire. Not in Lancashire. It's over there by where all the studios are on Barham. Yeah, it's right there. And it's not very big. But I think it used to be a comedy club. I don't know what it is today.
Sorry, y'all. We're from Los Angeles. Do you get it?
So, y'all.
Sometimes we go in.
Leslie's like, I've been a performer my whole life because I fucked Prince.
Because she fucked Prince. Don't forget, y'all. Some people, Caitlin Bristow shows up. She was on, what season? She was on, I think it was Chris.
She's been around forever.
She's been around forever, but that's how, she's been around forever. She I know was, some she, people like her. Some people I don't really have an opinion of her.
Not
she's
really
fine.
That, I'm not really on that train. Anyway, but Leslie's like I'm gonna be fine. And Joan, however,
I don't have any talent. I don't have any talent.
And the thing about it is,
goddamn puppet.
These are the ones you have to watch out for.
Yeah,
because they're setting the bar low. Joan knows this going in, that it's going to be incredible. I promise you. She's like, I'm going to write a poem that's going to destroy everyone. And anyway, so put a pin in that. Caitlin Bristow shows up.
Because the winner, y'all, the winner of this, if you don't watch the show, the winner gets the one-on-one date with Gary.
So they have like the three judging panel, and I'm not sure what they're there for, because no one's offering feedback, really. They're just kind of giving an American Idol. Because
Gary chooses who the winner is.
He chooses it. So basically, if Jesse and Caitlin wanted to do the it's a no for me dog, and Caitlin wanted to do the Paula Abdul like passed out on downers. It wouldn't matter. Whatever they said,
it doesn't matter because Gary is the Simon Cowell.
No, I think he is the Simon Cowell, but it's like a bizarro world.
He's nice,
a very nice Simon Cowell. Although I will say, Simon Cowell was never intentionally cruel. He was almost too realistic. I've always been a Simon Cowell defender.
Because game recognizes game.
Yes. Now, he did level with people. He was mean in the early auditions. He was mean. But when it got to the competition, he was just real.
Think about this, though. Close your eyes, poodle.
No.
Close your eyes and imagine you are working on this show and you're a judge and you've heard thousands and thousands and thousands and spent hours and hours listening to these people, and someone comes to you in a singing competition and they can't sing at all. They have no rhythm and they're terrible. How nice would you be to them?
What are you doing here? First of all, I would have never let them get that far.
Well, they let them get that far for good TV.
No, not the top 20. No, that's not the way it works.
Top 20. You said the initial, though, when he was mean to people.
Oh, the starting out.
Yeah.
He, after a while, would let them embarrass themselves. But he would say, you should sue your voice teacher. That you know, things like that. And that was popular in the beginning. But I think they realized they kind of stopped doing that because it felt cruel. It felt very early 2000s cruel reality television.
Yeah, which.
And now they just kind of do. It's like Katy Perry and Luke.
Combs.
No, that's not his name.
Not Luke Combs. Luke Bryan. I'm sorry.
Thank you. And Lionel Richie just kind of staring when things don't work.
Luke Bryan is hot.
He is. So, y'all, Sandra's gonna tell some jokes. I gotta say, Sandra, you need to learn one thing, and that is don't move on the punchline.
No.
That prowling kind of the stage thing
makes people
works.
Nervous.
It makes people nervous.
Don't walk like a gay man in a leather club. You look like a twink trying to find a daddy. I also will say, if Sandra is the one who cusses all the time, nothing's better than setting up a clean joke with a filthy, disgusting punchline.
Big titties.
Yeah, she should have said, like, big tits.
Huge, huge fucking boobs.
Or she could have said, or she could have said no, because she had a nice pussy. Whatever.
Wow.
Well, no, wow. But everyone would have been shocked. It would have worked. She would have killed. People would have spit out the Geritol.
That's true. Ellen talks about her sex ed.
Susan does fucking karate.
Susan does karate.
I gotta say, I'm loving Susan more and more.
Susan, who talks like this. And
yes.
April does some kind of what I think is like motivational, trying to get people into an MLM.
It's what she does in real life.
Yeah, exactly. Leslie. Let's talk about Leslie.
Boy.
First of all, there are too many accessories already. If you've got a bowler hat, you do not need a boa. And the styles are going to be incongruent here.
I agree with all that.
Now, I'm gonna try to describe, for those of you who don't watch, the style of
this. I will say, you can enter with a hat and a boa, but before you start the dance, you take off the boa as like, yes, I'm preparing to dance for you now.
Yes, Coco Chanel's rules. Yes. You remove one thing.
Take one thing off.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Is that Coco Chanel?
She said, look in the mirror and take one thing away.
Yes. So she... This was a combination of what I called mousercise.
I loved mousers. Come on, everybody. Yeah, mousercise. Mickey's mousercise.
I loved mousercise.
Me too.
I think it's something that my father was supportive of, even though it was very faggy because it involved dancing.
And it was gay dancing.
But it had me moving, so I wouldn't be a fat kid. So
your father's worst fear.
He was supportive of that. So when I would go in their bedroom, because it was the biggest space, and do mousercise, he would say, friend, Jaybird's in the bedroom dancing, right? And my mom's like, I think it's mousercise. Oh, well, that's fine.
That's fine. But now if you were just dancing.
Lose some weight.
If you were just dancing, say,
dancing,
you want to go hunting?
He would say, "Come on, friend, want to go run a mile?"
Yeah, go run. Let's go do that. Would your dad do that? Just make you go running?
Oh yeah, all the time. No, you had a fat father though.
Yeah,
I didn't.
I can't imagine. But not my mother wasn't athletic, really. She would walk, but I've never had my parents.
Oh, we played soccer, base basketball.
Oh, well, no, they made us do sports. They had to drag me out to do
sports.
But
no, the family. My father would say, we're going to go play soccer as a family.
So
Mother Poodle. Oh, yeah, she was very competitive.
So she would still beat her children?
She would beat, yeah, they beat us both. Yeah, in my family, there was never anything about letting the children win, however young they were.
Boy, we're learning a lot about how Poodle came to be.
Anyway, mousercise, a little jazz, a little light jazz, and then Hoochie Club. Because, y'all, I think if she could have kept that moving and didn't think she needed to dance up on his lap and bring him up there. And then she said, and I can bake. And it was all too much.
This is what she saw burlesque, and that's what she wanted to do. Give a little more. But welcome to burlesque. Sorry, I have to finish it. Leslie is someone that I like to call a pick me girl. She's a pick me girl.
Yeah, you think?
And I'm over Leslie. She's too much.
Yeah.
She's actually, it's not too much. I don't mind. Let's be honest. Susan's too much, and I love her. I love her muchness. But Susan comes, like, even Kathy, even April, have this kind of confidence of maybe I'm too much, but it's who I am.
They're not desperate. Leslie feels desperate.
That boa and that hat is a metaphor for Leslie still trying on personas. Go to therapy for that.
I'm going
to
say this now. Unless you're at a drag club, you need to leave that boa at home. that is a level of camp that is not present on a straight stage. That boa is like a pink triangle. It does not belong on a straight stage.
It does not. Not even a bachelorette party.
You know
party.
Who could wear it? Susan could wear it.
Susan could
wear that boa, and I'd be fine with it. Kathy could wear that boa. April could wear that boa. Even Nancy. All the members of Askin.
Askin. I even think Faith could. She could get the feathers from her chickens.
She annoys the shit out of me, too. I want her gone.
Oh, I think she's going to be around till the
I decided longer. I want her gone because her hair reminds me of every mom in a Lifetime movie or every, like, friend. It's bad.
I think she's going to be around. But even Susan says, they watch the performance and Susan says, yeah, was maybe a little much. And that's where I actually think Caitlin.
And people mistake me for a man.
For a man. I think Caitlin, our social, not Caitlin Bristow, but Caitlin, our social media person, we both.
Yeah, I don't think people say, people were thinking that Caitlin Bristow worked for us.
No, but I was going to say, I think we both shared the same picture of Kathy just watching Leslie dance with her face going, gum.
And Teresa's face in disgust.
Teresa's like,
yeah. So, y'all, Joan then gets up there. The bar is low. She's like, hi, I'm from Rockville, Maryland, and I don't really have any talents per se. But I'm just going to do this poem I came up with. Perfect rhymes. Everything is like eight, and it's like, and it hits at the very end with like, she says, like, I just hope I don't vomit on your shoes. It's funny. It has pathos. It has everything.
It's heartfelt.
And she nails them.
Nails it.
And all the other women are like, fuck.
Again, Kathy's sitting there going, gah.
And Leslie has the nerve to say she thought she could win after that.
After that. After that. Leslie's like, I'm just disappointed. I'm going to get emotional about it. And I was like, sit down.
I also feel that Leslie is one of these people who went to a therapist who told her that she can have two different emotions at one time. And I think that was such a revelation for her that she's like, I can be happy for Joan and really be upset at the same time.
See, I agree with that, but I don't think it was a therapist. I actually could see Leslie going to group therapy once and making it, because there's always somebody in a group therapy session. Y'all love group therapy. Highly recommend it. But there's always someone who talks about themselves the entire time, and then the next session, the group has to untangle the self-centeredness of that one person. I think Leslie showed up to one group therapy session, talked about herself for an hour, and then never came back.
I can see that. So, y'all, Joan obviously wins this. And because how could she not?
How
because
could she
remember,
not?
This is Joan who's probably not over the death of her husband.
No. Two and a half years, she says. But she sounded better when she talked about it on the date.
Yeah.
Than
so later. We're having dinner in this, what looks like to me, combination of an antique shop or a place where you get props for movies.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a little Pier 1 Imports.
Again, yeah. The Bachelor
dramatic lighting.
The Bachelor is known for having its nonsensical background. I almost feel like they just walk around the CBS lot.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but That all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song, To All Our Queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
Not to see the ABC lot. And then when they just find, they're like, hey, you know what? They're not using this set. Let's just decorate this and put a dinner here.
Needs an antique mirror.
Yeah. Put that, Joe, put that ficus in the corner. It'll add some depth.
It needs a lamp. It needs a lamp, and we need that purple glow and pink lighting.
I wonder what lot they fill the Bachelor. I mean, I know they film at the house in Malibu.
Does anyone have an urn?
I wonder if they or if it's because when I think about it, Malibu is that very kind. There's either like the beach houses, which some of them are modern, but a lot of Malibu is kind of like 90s money.
It is.
And like, Italian. So I wonder if they're just filming in different Malibu homes.
I think this was a store. This felt like a store to me. Yeah. There were too many things on the walls. Either that or like a prop house.
You have to think of it as a store because the thought of people having that much shit on their walls
would make me insane and I would need to burn the house down. I'm all for Spartan, y'all. People have too much shit on their walls. Have you ever been to someone's house and every square inch is covered by a painting?
That's the way my dad's house was when he was married to his third wife, Janet.
I can't breathe.
Oh,
when I'm in those places.
She had so many crosses on the wall and so much word art. And when she and my dad divorced and she took everything and cleaned out the house when he wasn't there without his own admission, not that she's a bitter bitch. But anyway, the wall just looked like mozzarella from all the holes in the wall.
But y'all, but think about this. You don't need to fill up every single space that's available to you. There's a wonderful thing. Space sometimes gives you more space to breathe.
Funny, though, you wouldn't say that at night in the bedroom.
No, because every hole needs to be filled. Very different. Very different.
Very different.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wish for more.
Okay. So they're on this date, and, you know, she is talking about, she said, I'm 2.5 years away, out. I think I'm ready.
Remember, though, y'all, she's tried to date 1.5 years after, and she needed to go back undercover because she wasn't ready. She probably just talked about her dead husband on the dates.
Like Ellen?
They need to have a dating coach for these women.
Yeah, then it wouldn't be a good show.
And they need to be kind of like hooked up to something that shocks them. And they're like, okay, now you're talking to Gary. So what would you say when he said, what are you, have you done this before? Yeah, the last time I did this was my dead husband, Frank. No, remember?
No, I think that's not ever going to happen on The Bachelor. No. But y'all, this is the woman who said she can't still look at pictures of her.
And birthdays are hard.
So I get that. So
she also mentions that her daughter just had a baby 15 days ago and it was a C-section. But she still left because, as she said, it's the first time in my life I'm doing something for myself. How could that go wrong? Anyway, he says, I will please accept this rose because you're being so vulnerable with
me.
You're
being so vulnerable with me.
And you've announced how good you've made me feel. And y'all, the next day.
They kind of kiss. They have a good kiss.
The smash cut of this gave me whiplash. The next day, she's looking at the phone, and she gets a text from her daughter. Things are not going well. I don't know what that is. My tinfoil Hattie brain was racing here to figure out why she had to go home.
Well, I think it could be the just most logical. Her daughter maybe has postpartum and is overwhelmed. Because when you have a C-section, you can barely lift your baby. You need your mom's help.
Or... the babies were switched at birth.
No, I don't think that's what happened. Don't
Y'all,
think that's what's happened.
More babies are switched at birth than people think. It's like 5% of babies.
It's not that percent. You don't have any idea of what you're talking about.
Y'all, that's why she had to go home to sort out the baby switch.
Switched at birth was a big thing when we were kids.
I know. I watched every possible TV movie about people switching, about babies switched at birth.
Well, they had the one, remember the girl from Jurassic Park was in it?
Yes!
And I tell you, y'all.
I think it's horrible.
People having babies at that time were terrified then. No, I remember Mercy Hospital. Women were just freakishly.
It is really sad that the first thing I thought of was... I have problems, y'all.
You say sad. I say you may want to process that.
So, y'all, she is going home. She says she's turned saying that my family needs me and I selfishly came here. So the moral of the story is don't do something for yourself ever because your family's going to need you.
Or as I was going to say, as I wrote in Poodle's language, because she tells Gary, and Gary, y'all, they set it up so well. Because Gary, she's like, I have to go back and be a mom. And Gary goes, no. And he said, I woke up feeling like $1 million. I was even dancing. And I wanted to say, Gary, don't rub that. You see Joan's face kind of go, fuck!
Well, I think Gary's one of those people who can't not say what he's feeling, which is fantastic for this show.
That is, see, he comes off a lot better than Teresa when she says what she's, quote, feeling. But we'll get to that.
Boy.
But so, and so Gary says, I get it. I'm so disappointed, but I get it. So she goes back, and I wrote this, and as Gary sits on the bench and cries, I just thought, you know, and I don't like to write this, and I don't even like to say it. Let alone, I really don't want to have it recorded for posterity, but
say it.
Poodle is right, y'all. Kids are just going to fuck things up. Poodle's right.
They took away all her happiness.
So this is my theory already.
She was just trying to have one selfish time. Yeah, I get it. She needs to go sort out the baby switch. I get it.
Or that her daughter just needs help around the house. This is what I think. I think it might be early in the game, but we have to start thinking who's going to be the Golden Bachelorette. And I think this storyline could put Joan in the front runner for this.
I had a different thought, and this has never been done before. What if Gary gets to the final two and goes, no, wait, it was Joan. It
Maybe.
Was Joan all along. And he gets in his classic car and he drives to Rockville, Maryland. And he shows up on the doorstep and Joan's got the baby who's now not switched anymore. And he said, it was you all along. And then they're together.
And then the baby vomits on his shoes.
Yes! Full circle. And they laugh. Drone shot. That's the ending I want. That would be so satisfying for me.
You would sob. You would be sobbing.
Can you imagine? It'd just be like Ellen left and Teresa. And they'd be waiting there, and he would just drive to Joan's house.
He would. Sadly, I don't think that's going
to happen. I'm changing my major to Joan.
I actually was moved by this.
You don't know what that's from?
No, I don't.
It's from Fun Home, the musical.
Y'all, Michael Costello, this guy's been making the rounds.
Oh, he was so shitty on his season of Project Runway.
He was terrible on that season.
I will never forget that.
Oh, he was talented, though. He's a talented bitch.
He is. He was so fucking petty. So awful.
He was.
She leaves. He's bereft. But it's fine because the women get to change into pretty dresses. And it's Ellen, y'all. It's Ellen.
Okay. The first dress I thought looked good. I didn't like the second dress. What did you think of the third dress in the pink?
I'm fine with all this. It's just like these are bachelor colors. Nothing felt really. I understand why they're doing it, and nothing felt really her.
I feel like the dress wore her a little bit. First dress I thought was actually the best on her.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's Ellen probably never really did anything like that. And Roberta is probably watching at home going, that doesn't look like you.
Yeah, she's probably like, I hate that dress, but I'm glad she's having a date.
Throws her fedora at the television. And
you look beautiful. You look stunning. But what completed her look was not the dress, but the smile on her face.
Yeah. You know what? It's like,
boy, he sells it though. When he says it,
he does. I just have to keep the Warren Jeffs comparison out of my head because I know I've ruined that for everyone. I apologize. But it's what I hear every single time.
Do you? I have a question for you on the goal. We often have a, and if this is wrong, Christina, our producer, can take it out. We talk about this a lot on our own shows, but I want to ask you. When it comes to Gary, do you have the gift?
Oh, don't do this to me. I'm going to make this even worse for people.
Then okay. We don't have to do it.
We can't go back. You realize if we go over this line, there's no going back.
So if you don't know what the gift is, why don't we demonstrate the gift with Jesse Palmer, and then maybe people can let us know. And if next week they want to hear
it's a beautiful penis
for Jesse Palmer.
Yes,
it's beautiful.
It is thick too, with a nice head. Oh, perfect, wow. Perfect glands.
So, wow,
a glands that says, "Hey, nice to meet you."
So, y'all now know what the gift is. If you're new to the show, let us know.
I can describe penises from seeing the people.
Let us know on our. It's shoot us up on Instagram or holler at us on Instagram. Or
I'm not gonna tell you your husband. I'm not. I did that in the beginning, and it taxed me.
You got too busy. Well, then you did it on Cameo, but now we're not on Cameo right now. But if you would like for us to know, if you want to know if Gary Poodle's gift with Gary. Let us know, and we'll let you. And we'll decide next week.
Again, I haven't put it in my head yet, and I'm having a little blockage. I think it's the Warren Jeffs thing. So I need to divorce it. I can actually see the outline, though. I can't actually see the penis yet.
So you're not there yet.
No, I'm not there yet.
Maybe we'll. You know what? Maybe we'll do. Actually, we'll do an RG Plus a Patreon poll. That'll be clearer.
Yeah, that's true.
Why don't we do that?
So anyway, this is, I think, you know, we talked, I mentioned earlier about how them mentioning maybe their late husbands or past relationships maybe we're told not to do that a lot of times. But I think that's just the way of life with people at this age. I think that's what you talk about. So I think rules are being rewritten for the way people date.
Well, I think, too, that you – I know this from after my dad died. You want someone to because it's different than with your grandparents, but someone you're really close to, that person was so important and pivotal in your life, and you just don't want them to be forgotten. So yeah. I think when they tell these stories, it makes them feel good that they're able to talk about that person, and then it's a shared remembering.
And Ellen, I feel like, is all – positive memories, whereas Joan was still coming from a place of a little bit of blame, a little bit of she couldn't let go of things. Mm-hmm. Very different. So, y'all, he asked what her wedding, or she asked him what his wedding day. He's like, it was all a blur, and we were so poor that my parents brought us groceries.
It's so sweet. It's so sweet.
If I was Tony, I don't think I would have married Gary. Yeah, I need to see that bank statement.
Wow. So, Gary says, Ellen is the one I can be the most myself with, but is there a romantic connection?
I'm going to say this. If you have to ask that, there's not.
I don't see, I think that's very producer-initiated, but I don't see when they're together. Gary says that, you know, he gives her a rose. But it feels like they're friends.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I get too. Now, not that's to be said, he's 70 years old. Maybe the feeling that he gets from her is unlike anything else he gets from anyone else. And maybe that's okay. I don't know. I would need to have some type of romantic attraction to someone. Obviously.
You say romantic. I think I hear other words.
Sexual.
Yeah. Carnal. Sexual. Carnal, animalistic.
Feral.
Feral. Visceral. Guttural.
Animal. So, y'all, they are on a hot air balloon, taking a hot air balloon ride. And I'm going to say this now. Number one for me on my list of worst ways to die. Plunging to your death in a fiery ball.
I gotta say.
Because you could see it. You see every bit. And you're on fire.
But balloons look really great. And then you step in it and you see all the cording around that's just the gas. All.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
All around you.
Oh, yeah. It is so easy to plummet to the earth in a fireball. I am just convinced.
It's kind of terrifying. I'm not going to lie. I was kind of terrified, too.
It's a number one for me. Even worse than drowning, which I think is, like, one of the worst. Or, you know what? Buried alive is still the worst for me.
That's the worst.
We need to move on. I'm kind of freaking people out, I'm sure.
Okay, so... So let's get to it because now, y'all, Kathy's pissed now and she is
hot to trot.
She says she's talking about how great their date was. And you said, my mother used to say, you see people doing that, this, or as my mother would say, not best quorum.
Decorum.
Oh, best. I heard it like three times and I was like, what's best quorum? I was going to ask you.
Best decorum.
I couldn't understand her with her accent. I watched it like four times and I wrote best quorum. And then I was going to say, ask Poodle, what is that?
Quorum.
Oh. Because she kind of talks out her mouth. She kind of, sometimes her words, she mumbles.
Yeah, and she kind of flips her teeth like that.
Which is weird.
Talking like a mobster.
Yeah, because her mouth is open most of the time. So I don't know why, whatever.
It is true. And y'all, and Teresa is all over the place. She's talking to Kathy. She's just right there saying, we had such an amazing connection.
Oh, blah, 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 blah. It was wonderful. They hugged me tight.
And Kathy's like, she talks like she's got this.
I don't want to hear that.
I'm going to take your rose if I need to, because possession is 9/10 of the rule. Hey, yo, can I get a rim shot?
And boom. And she says that in April, and they're kind of like, ha, ha, you're so
Kathy,
funny.
Kathy, you're so funny. You need to go on a comedy tour.
And then later, she goes and sits with the ladies, and they're waiting. And then she starts crying. And she stands up, and Edith is like, the tension from dating one man! She gets one good line in this, y'all, before she's out.
And y'all, April basically says, because Teresa's just going, blah, 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 blah. And April's like, you know what? If you have an intimate moment with Gary, maybe keep your mouth shut.
Have respect for him and the other person.
Y'all, Teresa has not been talked to like this in a while. Because she wasn't ready for it.
Teresa is very, I'm with Kathy. I don't know. Well, I'm with Kathy in that, like, I don't think Teresa did this manipulatively, but you don't know because you don't know if she's that dumb or if she's just that good at playing a game.
I think she's not that good. I think she can't read any signals at all.
That's what I feel like more, too. I think she didn't intentionally mean to do this, but she, and the only reason I think that is because, y'all, she crumbles and just starts fucking sobbing.
I also don't believe she's dated that much and she has a lot of savvy when it comes to men, and so she sees all the women in this house, and I don't think she has any strategy at all.
None.
Someone just needs to fucking put her in her place, and don't worry, Kathy's going to. One thing with, I didn't write anything, but with Faith talking about road trips, and she says, and being a romantic, and she just grabs him for a kiss. There's something about her that I feel like there's a little bit of ick with him now. I don't see it.
He has an ick with her?
Yeah.
Well, he made out with her. This was after, was that after or before Oh, yeah. And then, because when was, because Teresa then talks to Faith.
That's later.
That's later. Okay.
This is April, or Teresa talks to April and says, what's going on with you? And she's like, did I do something? She's like, take it up with Kathy. And y'all, yeah, she's so
April's
confused.
Not even placating her. April literally like says, you got to talk to Kathy. It's none of my business. I got to go. But Susan, give me a meatball.
But it isn't it interesting out of these four women, and I don't know about the other women are a little bit of kind of mysteries. I think they're in their kind of own world and everyone's kind of putting on a face, which normally happens. But I feel like Teresa, just from what we've seen, every time she's on camera talking with the other women, she is talking about her and Gary's connection. And yeah. I think the other women,
she's obsessed with it.
Yeah. The other women are finally getting annoyed by it. And then at one point she's like, y'all, Gary and Kathy are talking. And she says, this is my dad. Taught me hard work matters. And it's been a hard day and people aren't very nice. And I went down, this is smart, Kathy. And I don't think this is intentional. Gary loves vulnerability.
Wait, you don't think it's intentional that she wants to tell these women about? I think it's intentional.
No, intentional that she's talking to him and bringing and breaking down in front of Gary.
Oh, not breaking down, but what she says. I do think she was like, yeah, I want to tell him what the fuck is going on. Because you're asking, we're telling. But here's the deal. He didn't ask. So they're just telling.
He does.
Well,
he
finally.
Does, he does ask.
He says it.
He says, I got a lot of daggers coming at me.
Was there someone I should be watching out for?
What you see.
No. I'm going to make you do this. I think this is better done, even though you do Kathy and you do Gary. So I can't do it. I'm going to make you do a solo reality gaze theater.
Really?
Yes. Do it. It's your birthday week, and you should get what you want, but I'm going to make you do what I want.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Fine. Poodle is going to be playing the role of Kathy and Gary. I might be a stray hummingbird flying in the corner with a commentary here and again, but that's that's going to be it. So imagine, picture it on a beautiful park bench scene, and action.
Oh, it's so good to see you, Kathy.
This is my dad. He's the one who taught me hard work. It matters. And it's been a hard day, and people are not very nice here, and had a lot of daggers coming at me.
Oh. Is what do you mean you have a lot of daggers? Has someone been threatening you, your physicality?
No, not really. It's just someone...
Is there someone I need to be watching out for?
Ding.
Tweet, 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 tweet. Tell them.
Thank you, hummingbird.
You're welcome.
What I want to tell you is, what you see is not what is. See what I'm saying?
No, not really. I see you very well, except for at night.
No, that's not what I mean. I'm saying, don't let your eyes be deceived by what your dick is telling you.
Oh, I wasn't going to be.
I just want you to be happy. Are we clear? I just want you to be happy.
Hold on a second. I need to go get a back pill. Be right back.
Hummingbird, what are we going to do here?
Tweet, 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 tweet. Tell him.
Should I tell him all about Teresa's lying ways?
Yeah, tell him about the Matrix, too, and that this is all fake.
Oh, God. The last thing I'm going to do is to red pill Gary. All right.
Here, I'm going to give you... I want to give you a rose.
Oh, God. Oh, I've forgotten all about what I wanted to do to that shrew Teresa. Never mind. I love you. I love you, Gary. Oh, my God. I'm like Teresa right now. Teresa. All right. It was harder than I thought it would be.
Well done, Poodle.
Thank you. She really did want to spill it.
She really
did. I will say, it is episode 3 or 4. That's when usually they start narking each other.
Yeah.
Especially the women. Mm-hmm.
It's nice to know as someone who has watched that no matter what age, the format remains the same.
But this is a lot nicer. Usually they're narking by the episode 2, and they're stealing for a second a lot more.
Yeah.
So y'all, later on, Teresa is extremely upset about what Kathy may be feeling, and Kathy's, she's like, but I don't know what I did. I don't know what I did. And she's like, you made me feel like you were diminishing me. We already kind of did this a little bit in the beginning. But this idea of she can't see, and what is unfortunate here, and I guess this is just what some people do. They immediately say, oh, I feel horrible. And it's about how they feel instead of listening and saying, I'm sorry that I did that, that saying that made you feel that way, instead of breaking down while the other person's having emotions.
She finally does apologize later, but not really. We'll get to that. Yeah. But yes, have the compassion and validate their feeling. And Faith goes in and talks to her, and Faith says, like, I don't think
there was two messes in the house, Faith and Teresa.
And Faith says, I don't think there was ever any evil intent. And I agree with that. I don't think Teresa meant to do it. And I do think Kathy's coming for her a little hard. At first I was.
I don't care. I'm enjoying it.
But then by the end of the episode, when you see what happens at the rose ceremony, you're like, Kathy, go to town. I love her line. I can tell you who's going to get a rose, but she... I can't tell you who's going to get rose, but she is not Mrs. Turner. Yeah.
And then
Game on.
So y'all, Teresa finally has her moment with Gary, and she's like,
everyone thinks that I've really been building a connection with you.
Gary, I think I built a connection, and then I'm taunting our love because you love me, because you love me, because you love me.
And then he's like, if in your heart you don't think that you were boasting. They're using the word boasting, and it sounds like it's the Bible. Love does not boast.
I thought it was like a Disney. If in your heart you're truly boasting, it just felt so lyrical.
Boasting. Don't be boastful. So, y'all, anyway, the last thing here is just know that rose ceremony happens. Faith, who's been shitting a brick the whole time, she's fine.
Sandra.
Sorry, you're right.
Sandra. I will accept this like a hole in one. Y'all, that was a metaphor.
Thank you.
We got to dig.
Leslie, down. Nancy, Susan, April, Teresa. So.
Now remember, too, because two roses have already been given out. Ellen.
And Kathy.
Kathy, yeah.
So, y'all, the Askin Alliance has survived this week.
They've survived this week, yeah.
And Teresa, April gets one, and then Teresa and Kathy's face could just laser through like Homelander from The Boys.
Edith and Christina, I don't remember anything about Christina, but I liked Edith a lot. I'm sad to see that she's gone.
I will remember you.
Edith, I'll remember you coming out in that gold dress that I thought may have been a little on the nose.
I liked it, though.
I love her hair.
Oh, she's gorgeous. Edith is gone.
Christina, I barely remember you.
Who?
Yeah.
Teresa, how do you feel about Teresa? This is why I think Teresa has no clue, because she's childlike in her emotions, and she can't contain someone being upset at her.
No.
And she's and like, she has to bring it up at the rose ceremony.
It was a good night, but I really felt like it. I'm so sorry, Kathy. I'm so sorry. Did you have a good time with
and
him?
She's like, but yeah, I was so glad that he and I, our connection. She's like, watch it.
My best part was when she said, did you have a good time? And Kathy said, yeah, I was mostly crying. And that is when she's it is clueless that Kathy is talking about, I was crying, I was upset. And then to that response, Teresa, does say, well, he spoke to me and he told me.
In the back bedroom.
She's like, you in the back bedroom with him?
And she's like, yeah. And she goes, see, bitch, that's what I'm talking about, motherfucker.
That was the great single greatest moment of this episode. That she's still that clueless.
And that's where she says the famous lines. I can't figure out if she's dumb as a rock or that she does or she knows what she's doing.
Later in the little credit scene, they're talking about Susan and Kathy farting.
Now was it the meatballs or the guac? Was it who was it that popped in that 1980 sitcom door at the end and said it was definitely the meatballs?
I think that was Nancy.
It was Nancy. When Nancy, y'all, it was literally like that. Like it was like Jack. Jack from Three's Company just opening that kitchen door and just it laid me out.
It was very Estelle Getty energy to me.
Yeah, it was more 70s almost sitcom more than 80s. Because 70s, I feel, always had a lot of people coming through doors saying a one-liner.
Yes.
That's the show.
That's the show. We had a lot to talk about this
episode. We did have a lot. It was a great episode, y'all. That's your episode of Golden Bachelor. Again, if you like this episode, go to realitygaze.com and follow us on social media, Reality Gaze Podcast on Instagram, Reality Gaze on TikTok. I am sure, Reality Gaze Pod on Twitter. I am sure that our team will be making some memes of this episode. I'm scared to see, but go look on social media. If you like those, comment and share them. More importantly, share them and tag the Bachelor.
If Kathy sees our impression of us, I don't know what she'll do.
I think she'd laugh.
Probably.
April would.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
My impression of April will be like this.
Like this.
Lot of air in my voice.
You can do it, ladies. If you just, okay. Follow us on all that stuff. Sharing, caring, we appreciate it. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, where you're listening to podcasts. We will see you next week. Until then, Poodle, what do we say on this show?
Will you accept our rosebud?
It's always terrible.
We've got to find a different one. It's bad.
Will you still feed me when I'm 64?